The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Hallelujah. I am grateful for this privilege to have the opportunity to share with you on this Sunday morning. There's a whole lot that's coming into this moment for Barb and I. This is not the first time I've preached, but I haven't done this in a long time. Word was spoken over us by Alan Ross that we were coming into a releasing season, and some of that is releasing giftings and callings that are on Barb and are on myself. This is part of it. This is part of it. During this past week, Barb had the word debut that Barb and I are having a debut at Living Waters Church. And on the way to the service this morning, she got the word initiation. Initiation often has challenges involved with it. So as I look out over the audience, and I'm seeing some old friends and a lot of new friends, and many of you that we haven't really gotten to know yet, but then I think of that word initiation, and I see John Matthews. And then I see Craig Nelson. And I thought I saw Anthony back there at one point, too. And it's okay. All right, God, here we are. Now, whenever I'm hearing somebody speak for the first time, I often wonder what qualifies them to have this funny-looking microphone hanging over their ear. What in their lives, what in their walk brings them to the place where a pastor is giving them the opportunity to share from the pulpit? Well, I want to tell you that I'm going to share very briefly some of my experiences. Barb hopefully is going to share here in a little bit as well. First of all, my strengths. In the spirit, I am gifted as a teacher. I have giftings in the prophetic, pastoral, and administration. This morning, you are mainly going to be seeing the teacher cap. I have notes and a lot of scripture. Once in a while, I slip into preaching, but that's good, too. What happens in a person's life that brings them to a place where they can speak of the goodness of God and speak of things that jump out of Scripture for them? Very quickly, I just want to give you kind of a background. Just about exactly 62 years ago, I was born. I started out life as a baby. And that's going to take way too much time. Grew up on a farm between Hinckley and Pine City. Went on to college in Bemidji. Met a gal there in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Got married. We settled there. Believed we were going to start to have a family there. And I experienced the loss of a firstborn son. Born 2 months premature. He lived a couple days. So we then adopted a little girl from Korea. Then along came two natural-born red-headed boys, and we thought we'd finish our family with another little girl from Korea. So that makes four at that point, and I would tell people, just almost jokingly, I had two by jet and two by stork. And they'd go, what? Two came over on a plane, and two were the usual way. You know, okay. And then a fifth one came along, total surprise. And she right now is serving in New Zealand with the International House of Prayer for about a 12-month period of time. So excited about that. During our time in Bemidji, I experienced the loss of a business because of a dishonest partner. That was a hard thing. Moved to the Twin Cities to pretty much start all over again. Then, other things that I've experienced are... Not too long ago, I experienced the loss of that marriage of 28 years. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death on that one. And it was really only the love of God, the grace of God, and the people around me at that time that I really felt brought me through that with some hope for the future. Prior to that, and even through those periods of times, I've walked in most offices or positions in church leadership. Currently, now I'm serving as the chairman of the administrative board. Administration, I think I mentioned that, here at Living Waters. Lived alone for a couple of years, and then I married my favorite bank teller. True story. Won't go into details there either. Barb and I started out with a lot of hope, a lot of excitement about what God was doing as he put our lives together. And I had changed jobs to find something a little more secure. I'd been in the auto business and kind of the sales aspects of it. And I switched to more of the banking side of things with a set income, holidays, days off. I mean, and then, okay, then we were going to get married, and we did. 3 months after that, they closed down the branch of the bank that I had been hired to work in, and I was unemployed. And then we've had some challenges since then. But through those challenges, we found ourselves even in the pit at one time, just despairing, thanking God for one roll of toilet paper, because that's all we had. Not having money. A lot of us have been there and done that. But through those difficult times, through those very, very difficult times, we made the decision that we were going to start thanking God. We were going to start appreciating his goodness. We were going to start thanking him for that last roll of toilet paper, and all of a sudden there would be a little bit of money for some more. And things started to change. When we got an attitude of gratitude working in us, suddenly that deep, mucky, murky, dark pit, it was like angels started pulling us up. And we started getting on the path that God wanted us to be on. In the very past few years, God has been blessing us, and we continue to thank him. You've heard little bits of my testimony as I've shared and done offerings and so on, but we are so grateful to God's goodness, so appreciating of his faithfulness. And what I'm going to talk about today, you've already heard the word a few times, is the anointing. The anointing. I'm going to begin a 7-part series on the anointing because it would take about that long to cover it, but obviously I'm going to just give you some highlights today. Maybe a couple things that'll just help us understand the anointing a little bit better. And Barb's going to be sharing here in just a little bit as well. But today, got some scripture. Kind of put your student hat on because I've got notes. You might want to take a couple notes because I'm going to be giving you a lot of information. Now, when I preach, I'm speaking to myself. What I've studied, what I've learned, what God has downloaded in me, I mean, it's for me. I'm talking to myself, and if you want to listen in, be my guest. Now, there are just a handful of you here today that have probably heard me preach before, back at Church of the Resurrection. I should have told Pastor Dave that when you ask me to fill a pulpit, be ready. Sometimes I'm unconventional. Today I'm going to be pretty conventional. My very first message was on the Ministry of Helps. My prop was a toilet brush. Another time, I spoke about the paralytic man with the four friends that let him down through the roof of the house that Jesus was in. I had five of my friends help me act that out, and I'll leave that to your imagination. Another time, I had some people come forward and pretend to be fruit, or pretend to be branches, excuse me. And I asked them what it felt like to try to produce fruit. Again, it was a matter of they didn't have to strive to do it. If they're in the vine, the fruit comes naturally. But today, again, I want to talk about the anointing. Last week, we experienced an infusion of God's love. There were new things like roads and rivers in the wilderness. We took a big drink from that river, some of us bigger than others, if you remember last week. And I don't know who took that cup, but I was noticing that there was a cup right here for all the first part of the service. I thought, wow, that got left over from last week, having that big drink. This week, I want to stir up that drink, that anointing that we already have in us. To start with, I want to give us a little bit of background. Mandy, the word anointing or the concept of anointing is an ancient term from ancient shepherds who used to anoint their sheep. Now, what a fitting comparison, because who are we? We're the sheep of his pastures, and he cares for us in that way as a shepherd does. What happened, though, is that sheep would get bugs, they'd get lice, insects that would get into their wool, get up into their heads, into their ears, cause infections, sometimes even kill the sheep. So shepherds started putting oil on the sheep's head. That oil made the wool slippery so that the bugs couldn't even get anywhere. They just slid off, thus protecting the sheep. And as a result of that, the anointing with oil became symbolic with blessing and with protection. Oh, lots of pictures of sheep. All right. I want to give a bit of an overview of what happened through the Old Testament. In Exodus 30, God told Moses to make an anointing oil to anoint things in the tabernacle. Not only to sanctify them, to set them apart, but to consecrate them, to make them available for holy service, for holy use. In Leviticus 8, God again told Moses to stir up some oil and pour the oil over the things in the tabernacle to anoint them. But this time, he also told Moses to pour it over Aaron, and then over his sons, and then on all their garments, to sanctify them, consecrate them for holy use. I think Moses was going through a lot of oil at that point. It then became a regular practice that priests were anointed as they stepped into that role and stepped into that service. Then we see through the Old Testament that prophets were anointed with oil to proclaim God's word. Then kings came on the scene, starting with King Saul. They got doused too. If you look through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see that every king virtually was anointed with a flask of oil. And it wasn't just a couple little spots on the head. It was pouring it over them, so it was running down. In Mark chapter 6, we see the sick being anointed with oil. There's other references, James being one that talks about anointing the sick with oil for them to recover. Throughout the Bible, anointing was a common occurrence. It was used for proclaiming, for worship, for sacrifice, for ruling, for healing, and to make something ready for holy use. Now let's kind of fast forward from the Old Testament to Jesus. Let's take a look at Jesus in the anointing. I want Isaiah 61. And actually I'm going to read these verses. The Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah's prophesying about a future Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Key words jump out at you as we think of that proclamation of anointing to a future Messiah. And that is preach, heal, deliver, rebuild, comfort, and serve. Servants. That's kind of what I see. There's six really important steps to that coming from that scripture in Isaiah. Let's take a look at what Jesus said about himself using these very same verses in Luke 4:18. Now, Jesus was in the temple teaching. They handed him a book, and it was the scroll or book of Isaiah. So he turns to that same spot. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The scripture goes on to say that he then handed the book back, sat down, all eyes were on him. And he kind of just turned around and said, those words in Isaiah, that's me. I'm the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus was anointed to do and to be those things. Now, Jesus was baptized by John, and at that time, the dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended on him, and it's generally recognized that that's probably the moment where he became anointed. He received the fullness and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then as you read through the New Testament, his ministry showed that, yeah, he did that and more. He was anointed. He was fulfilling that prophetic word that we see in Isaiah. Matthew 11:4. John's disciples had come to him and said, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you really that anointed one that we're looking for?" Here was his answer. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." He was again just telling them that, yes, I am that one. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. In fact, his name, Jesus the Messiah, meant Jesus the anointed one. In the New Testament, the Greek translation of the Hebrew word for Messiah is Christos or Christ. So we think of him more as Jesus Christ, but that still means Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one. Was Jesus anointed? Absolutely. Was he a fulfillment of those verses, prophecy in Isaiah? Absolutely. Let's fast forward to now. Let's talk about us. We hear that word, anointing, the anointed, very often. As I mentioned, it's already been spoken a few times already this morning in our prayers and in things spoken from up front here. What does the anointing mean to us? Could we possibly have that same anointing that Jesus had? Glad you asked. Short answer, yes, we do. I want to kind of point out how that came into being. Let's look at Matthew 10. And there we are. Now, he called his disciples to himself, and he gave them power. He gave them power. Key word. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. I'm going to go to verse 7. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." I want you to pay attention to that last phrase. That's, in a bit of a nutshell, what the anointing is about. Freely we have received, freely give. Anointing is going to be a flowing. A little bit more on that later. A couple of scriptures are not going to be up there. I want to share with you Romans 8:11. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," dwells in us, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, past tense, it's already happened, is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." And just recently, Barb and I have been taking in some teachings, and a verse really jumped out at us. And that's going to be 1 John 4:17. Look at this one carefully. "Love," another key word in the anointing, "love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Let that one sink in for just a moment. That one really has meant a lot to me. So we've established that Jesus was the anointed one. We have been given that anointing by coming into fellowship with him, into communion with him, into the steps of salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That anointing is ours. It's in us. It dwells in us already. We've already got it. Say after me, Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is in me. I am anointed. One of the most important aspects of the anointing is God's power working in and through us. Joyce Meyer had a little article that I came across, and she says some things that are really very helpful. So what's the key to living in God's power? The anointing. The anointing is God's ability in you to enable you to do something with ease, without it being a struggle. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be some challenges to get into that place. But once we're operating in that anointing of ease, it's going to be without struggle. I'm going to ask Barb to share a testimony of how we personally have experienced that anointing of ease just very recently.
Oh, I'm not used to that.
Oops, you're not on yet.
Am I on?
There we go.
There I am. Okay. Dan asked me to share this with you. It's kind of along with what he is teaching. About 2-3 weeks ago, my daughter came here from Seattle with her 6-month-old baby to stay with us for 2 weeks and to visit. And that was great. I was so excited. We were really excited. But there were a lot of challenges that began to come, starting to arise. And one of them was 3 days before she was going to fly, she was sick. She was having trouble with my daughter. She was having trouble with her teeth. She was having trouble with her sinuses. She was just not feeling good. And then she was getting concerned because she was going to be bringing the baby by herself for the first time flying here from Seattle. And so there, and then I'm just kind of giving you some background of what went into these 2 weeks. There was just, a lot of challenges. I have dealt with health issues, which has affected my sleep. So a lot of times, if I haven't gotten good sleep, I don't have the energy and, just to handle a baby and two people 24/7 that I'm not used to. And so anyway, in the midst of all those challenges, we met with a couple of our friends, and Dan and I had been praying too, just kind of covering this whole time with the Lord and in prayer. And but we met with a couple of our friends in prayer, and the one word we got was that there would be an anointing of ease on this whole time, from beginning to end. There would just be this anointing of ease. And I was just absolutely, it was amazing how God just came through in every single aspect of those 2 weeks for myself, for the baby, for my daughter. And I'll share a couple of the highlights. I mean, it was in the whole 2 weeks, whether it was my cooking, it was, taking care of the baby when my daughter wasn't feeling good, to their coming here on the plane, on the flight. My daughter, she was concerned, because she was bringing a 6-month-old baby for the first time by herself. And her husband was at home, and he was fine with her coming, but he was dealing with his own stuff, and he was, kind of feeling sad and lonesome and with her leaving. And anyway, on the plane, I told her there's going to be an anointing of ease on the whole thing. There's just going to be an anointing of ease. God's going to take care of you. Everything's going to be fine. Baby's going to be fine. And they had the greatest time on the plane. It couldn't have went better. Baby never cried, did wonderful. She wanted to get front row seats And they were already taken, so she was in the second row. And I told Dan that morning, I said, I wouldn't doubt that God would even open up those front seats. And sure enough, she gets off and says the front seats were open, you know, for her. So she had more room, and she was really excited about that. So that was one of the things. Her husband was Steve at home, just kind of dealing with a lot of different things. So at the beginning, she asked us to pray for him. So we did. And he began to just get these God encounters, and he was getting revelations. And so God was covering him. You know, it was like every aspect of it, every person was just being covered. I had such grace over the whole time. I mean, with just helping her with the baby and cooking meals and, you know, all of that. And then the third day she was here, we were going to have this family picnic with all the other you know, a lot of the family, the extended family. And Saturday morning, it was raining, and that's when we were going to meet, about 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was raining. And I said, Lord, you know, what do I do? And he said, have them all come here. Well, that's totally out of my, you know, that's just not me. You know, I got to have everything prepared, and I got to, you know, have everything ready. And here I have, you know, baby and baby things all over. And, you know, and he said, just have them come here. So
it was definitely out of her comfort zone.
It was very much, very much. So, you know, that was another thing. And they all came, and, you know, I just had this ease. I mean, through everything that happened, I just had this ease. And I even enjoyed them all coming. I mean, we don't have a big place. We're in a town home, you know, and baby stuff all over, and they were bringing their kids. The kids were playing. It was, I mean, I just kind of sat in awe of what God was doing. But so that, you know, those were just some things. And can you think of anything else that...
About going over to the other gathering?
Yeah, and, you know, then there were all the, you know, just like I say, the everyday things that I would tell Dan so often, and even my daughter, you know, it's like there's just an anointing of ease on us. I mean, it's just everything went so smooth. And and then the following Saturday, we were going to go to, we were invited to my former spouse's home, him and his wife, and for a family get-together because Chris was here with the baby. And it was just so awesome because I just had such peace, and I felt so free. And I mean, I even had love for this guy, you know. I mean, you know, and I just had this realization and just reminded of how much God has done in my life and how he has set me free from guilt and you know, just pain and unforgiveness and, you know, all of that. And it was just, I just sat there, and it was just very, very freeing, and I was just really thankful. And, yeah, so Dan wanted me to share about the anointing of ease that I had. So there you go.
Very good. So what's the key to living in God's power? The anointing. The anointing is God's ability. God's ability. That's another definition for grace. The anointing is God's grace in you to enable you to do something with ease without it being a struggle. Joyce goes on to say in that little article that the way to release and let that anointing flow in your life is simple. Obedience to the Holy Spirit now. Obedience is another key. Remember that word. Cultivate sensitivity to him and learn to follow that unction in your heart. More about unction in a little bit, too. The anointing is for now, whether you are working on a detailed report for your boss, preparing a Sunday sermon for church, thank God for that one, or making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for your kids, you are anointed for this moment. Don't worry about when it will come. It is in you, right now. Now, believe that. Look in the mirror and say, I am anointed. Next time you're in front of the mirror, try that. Point at that person and said, you are anointed. I am anointed. We have that. We have it in us right now. I also want to say, in talking about looking in a mirror, one of the best mirrors we can look at is right here. right here. When we look into this mirror of God's word, we're going to see ourselves as anointed, as saved, as delivered, as favored, as blessed, and all of the wonderful goodness of God is speaking to us there in his word. So, do we really have this anointing? Good, you're listening. But how do you know when it's really working? I want to kind of wrap this up a little bit and pull it a little bit tighter here as to what this anointing is all about. I'm going to spend the rest of my few minutes here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses, then I'll be coming back to them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have, let's get rid of the question right now. Any of you are still doubting that you have an anointing or not, it's right there. Word of God says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Very good. Oh, look at that next phrase. And you know all things. Wow. Wow. Let's go to verse 21. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. Now, John was writing this part of his letter trying to come against deceptive teaching at that time. He even calls it antichrists, who were just coming against those things that Jesus had taught, that John knew to be the truth. And he kept coming back to love and truth are two of the most important things. Let's look at verse 27. Therefore, let that... Where are we here? Oh, 24, please. I'm sorry, Mandy. Therefore, let that truth, is what he's referring to there. Therefore, let that a truth abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and in the Father. Abiding is that key word in that verse. Let's go to 27. But the anointing, King James says unction, but that anointing, the unction which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. In his gospel, John also quotes Jesus in chapters 14, 15, and 16 about the Spirit of truth, who will teach us all things, that will bring to remembrance all things. This Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows all things. We have that Spirit in our spirit. Now, does our mind know all things? Uh-uh. Does the Spirit of God dwelling in us know all things?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That anointing in us has that ability to know all things. We need to be able to tap into that more. I want to give you three phrases coming out of those, there's that sheep again. They're getting closer. Three phrases that will help us understand and appreciate what the anointing is and how it works. You might want to write these down. I kind of felt like this was sort of my download. Perhaps some new ways of putting some words together. Again, from these verses in 1 John. The first one is anointing comes from a knowing and produces a flowing. From a knowing comes a flowing. That is the anointing. Second one is from abiding comes doing. From abiding comes doing. The third one, this one hit me as kind of funny, is from an unction comes a function. From an unction comes a function. Let me just hit some highlights as to how these three things work. From a knowing comes a flowing. That's knowing the truth, abiding in the truth. Let's go back to verse 20 there. It's knowing God's word. It's knowing God's wisdom. It's applying those things. It's seeking those things. It's grabbing onto those things and knowing those things. We know all things. Verse 21... I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And then he goes on again talking about abiding in that truth in verse 24. The important part of seeing that anointing work is to acknowledge that truth that's in us, to recognize it and say, yes, I have it. It's there. I can know all things through the Spirit of God that dwells in me. Philemon 1, 4 through 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement, acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you know that the anointing is working? You know that you're flowing when God's heart touches another person's heart through your heart. You know that the anointing is flowing when God's heart touches another person's heart through your heart. It's really all about God's love. It's about that river of love that we took a drink of last week. When it's flowing through us, we are touching others. The anointing is really an overflow of God's love in us. Let's go to from abiding comes doing, verse 24. Now, yes, we're abiding in the truth, we're abiding in his word, but I want to stretch that further because we need to abide in his presence. We need to abide in that love. We need to abide under his cover in our life. And it's out of that abiding we draw strength. We receive that love. We get that infusion of love, and that will bring that doing. Out of abiding comes doing. You got to get it in the right order. You get out there and start doing. And how many of us have been there? You get out, you see a good thing, and you get into it, and you start doing. It's like, oh, by the way, God, would you bless me in this? He may or may not. But out of abiding in his presence, there will be that knowing of what our next steps are to do. And then you can absolutely count on his faithfulness for that anointing to be there to do that. I have come to know that whatever I'm called to, there will be that anointing. I am anointed today to preach this message to you. I've been anointed in other aspects of things I've done in church, teaching and leading groups and so on. There will be an anointing for whatever God is leading you or calling you to. But then you got to do it. Here we have that obedience coming up again. We must obey. When you have that stirring, when you have that knowing that there's something there God's having you to do, step out in it. His strength, power, love, equipping, grace, it'll all be there for you in the doing of what he's called you to do. Finally, let's take a look at from an unction comes a function. Let's go to the last verse, 27 again. Unction and anointing in the King James Version are used interchangeably. I kind of like to think of unction as being more of a stirring up of that anointing that's already in us. As I said right at the beginning, I want to stir up that drink that we took last week. The anointing's there, but let's get it stirred up, and that'll kind of come to you in what I'm going to call an unction. From an unction comes a function. Now, function can be a position, it can be an office, it can be a certain job that you're doing. I kind of came up with this definition. I like it better. Function is a fitting action coming from purpose. Function, a fitting action coming from purpose. Again, it comes out of the knowing, the abiding, then the doing, the flowing. It's all working together. There will be an empowering and an energizing of the Holy Spirit as our spirit cooperates with the Holy Spirit. That power will be there. The energy will be there. Right, Barb? We've been experiencing that at different times, and you don't know the whole story, but it happened again here this morning. I like to think, too, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit come from this place of the anointing where there will be an unction, that we flow out into those gifts as we have things to minister to others. I want to recommend to you 1 John. That book is absolutely full of love, truth, abiding, obedience, more love, It's a really good place to spend some time abiding and knowing God's word. It'll help you. There's so much there that brings it to how we live and things that we're dealing with right now. So summing it up, what's the anointing? The anointing is a demonstration of God's love and power as he flows through us to do what he's called us to do in his ability, not our own. And that love, power, and action will bring a fullness and purpose to our function in the body of Christ. One more time on that one. That was another download. The anointing is a demonstration of God's love and power as he flows through us to do what he's called us to do in his ability, not our own. And that love, power, and action will bring a fullness and purpose to our function in the body of Christ. Before I actually close, I just want to kind of address a couple other questions that again, could be whole sermons. I'm just going to give some quick answers. Does the anointing always have physical sensations with it? No. No, we always carry that anointing. It is always there. You already have it in you. But it often will bring a physical sensation. I tend to get a little bit of a quiver in the knee. Barb has the left hand. And all of you sometimes at whatever period will have experienced something where the physical body will respond to the power of God that's working in you or surrounding you. Some will feel oil actually flowing over their body. Some will feel oil flowing inside their body. But there can be very often physical sensations. We hear the word impartation. What's impartation? How does that relate to the anointing? I like to think of it that an impartation is a sharing and a catching of a specific anointing. And that specific anointing is usually one that comes from an area of difficulty, struggle, or bondage that one has gained victory over. And when they are sharing that, there is power in that. There is a stirring in that. And people can pick it up. They can receive it. They can pull it into themselves. That's an impartation. Another verse, just very quickly, Isaiah 10:27 talks about breaking the yoke. Anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing oil can break the yoke. That's often used, and I believe it's a proper application because really when that anointing is flowing, it can break the yoke of sickness, disease, bondage, captivity, many, many things, even as we talked about what the anointing does for us. I do want to mention a name, Gavin. Yep, talking about you. 2 weeks ago, Gavin got up here. And he says that he knows he's anointed to break the yoke of guilt and shame in people. That's an unction, brother. That's a stirring of an anointing in specific areas that you have gained victory over, and you have power in that area to set people free from guilt and shame. I want to confirm that and say, go for it, brother. There's a lot of us out there, a lot of Christians, sad to say, that are under some condemnation, under some bondages in that area of guilt and shame. So I appreciated that, Gavin. Can the anointing be stifled? Yeah, it can. Just as wrong living or even wrong thinking can bring a break, a rift in our fellowship with the Lord, those same things can kind of stop the flow of the anointing as well. We want to be cleansed vessels, available vessels, set apart wholly for a service. In these days in which we live, we need everything that God's got for us operating in us. Anybody agree that evil is increasing? Oh my. Just don't even want to watch the news or read a newspaper or flip through channels. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. But I want to say to you at the same time, there is a wave of revival, and I liked Ken's vision. There is a wave of revival that's building out in God's ocean of love that's coming our direction. It is coming our direction. And the more that we function in those gifts, in those callings, in the anointing that you already have. See, I'm slipping into preaching now. We need to do it. We need to be there. We need to agree with God and with His Spirit that we have it already in us. Let it out. Find ways to tap into it. We need that infusion of love from last week. We need fellowship. We need prophetic words to encourage us. We need God's Word and the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need to function in the fullness of the anointing that you and I already have. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we're going to do a declaration of anointing. You don't have to repeat this prayer. I just want you to agree with me. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and worship you, and thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to pay the penalty for our sins. We believe that we are reconciled to you through the blood of Jesus Christ and that we have received life everlasting and have your peace in this life. We choose to confess and renounce all sin, any connection to the occult, all unbelief, all fear, all doubt, and any wrong ways of thinking. Thank you that we are cleansed and made righteous through that precious blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to grant to us wisdom, revelation, and understanding of the anointing which you have already given us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to read together a declaration of anointing. Say with me, I am anointed to preach the good news of God's love, to share God's goodness, to heal the sick, to restore the brokenhearted. I am anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives, to deliver those oppressed by the enemy, to comfort all who mourn. I am anointed to proclaim the kingdom of God, to rebuild that which needs rebuilding, to tear down that which needs tearing down, to serve my God in all things and in all ways. Say again, I am anointed. God bless you. This has been fun. Hope I gave you a couple of new ideas.